It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning to come together as we are accustomed on this particular day and at this particular time to partake of the emblems that represent the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, to give of our means, to sing songs, to be of encouragement one to another, and to study a portion of God's Word. It is always good to get together with those of like precious faith and to study the Word of God. Hopefully we will gain some things today that will help us to be stronger in our faith, that we might be able to stand against the temptations that are hurled at us. We are thankful for the visitors who are here. We hope that you realize that you are our honored guest and that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. We hope that you avail yourself of those opportunities. The time to have together this morning, we'd like to talk about the all-sufficiency of the church. The church which Jesus Christ our Lord built is a perfect institution. It is all sufficient to accomplish the purpose which He had in mind and which God had in mind when they brought it into existence. And I believe that this is something that we need to constantly be reminded, that it is a perfect institution, that it is something that is complete. I believe that it is perfect in spite of the fact that it is made up of human beings. And we as human beings are imperfect. We are going to make mistakes. But as far as what God has done for the church, in establishment of the church, it is perfect. And this is why we need to view the church from two standpoints. One being divine and the other being human. And as far as it is from the divine side, that is from God and what He has done, it is perfect. It lacks absolutely nothing. It is complete. But as far as the human side is concerned, because the church is made up of imperfect individuals, there are going to be flaws. There are going to be things that we do that are wrong. Since the establishment of the church, there have been men who have doubted the all-sufficiency of the body of Christ. And because they have these doubts, they have desired and they have brought about man-made institutions to do the work of the church. This is something that we have seen down through the centuries, that one institution or one innovation will come along and then will be another and then branch off from that will be something different. And they have the idea that these institutions and these innovations or organizations are there to make the church complete. And they have a doubt in this institution that Jesus Christ has built. In recent years, we have seen the churches of Christ being plagued by man-made organizations asking for support of the churches. These individuals who begin these institutions will first of all persuade the churches that they cannot complete their God-given task without their help. That is, without the institution's help. Then they say that they can do it more effectively. In other words, the plea is made to a group of churches that says, you as an individual congregation are not able to evangelize the world. And so what we are going to do is we're going to start this organization, and you as the individual churches, you will send your money to us, and we will pool our resources, and then with those great resources, we'll be able to evangelize the world. We will have such programs as the Herald of Truth, and we'll take it to the world. We will be able to, with this particular organization, evangelize the world in which we live. Or if you send us your money, you yourself, as an individual congregation, cannot take care of the needs of the orphans and the widows. But if you will send your money to us, we will put it in a collection, and then we will be able to do great work. Now, all of these things, these orphans' homes and these institutions that have been started by man, are a result of churches making these contributions to them. And they are a result of men simply not having faith in God. Faith in the church which he established, that it would take care of the work that God had assigned it to do. And it's easy to see how that some individuals can believe this, because they have become disenchanted with the church, and they are persuaded that other organizations can do things better. Other organizations are necessary. We find that so many churches are failing in their own work that people do become easily disenchanted, and they want to establish outside organizations. People conclude, saints conclude, that something else is needed, separate and apart from the church, if the church is going to get its work done. But we need to be reminded from time to time that God's church is perfect. As far as he is concerned, it will, if it follows the plan God has given it, it will accomplish the work that he has given unto it. But a lack of faith in God's plan has paved the way for man-made organizations. And we can see this among churches of Christ. We can go into the denominational world and we find the same thing there. People have lost faith in God's plan to do God's work in his way that he has prescribed. And we need to be reminded that God has given unto man a perfect church. It is able to do everything that he wants it to do. Now again, we're not saying that we as individuals are perfect, but God's plan and the purpose that he had and the way that he brought it into existence, that church is perfect. And we want to talk about that this morning for the time that we have. The church that God has given unto mankind is perfect in the sense that it has come from the mind of God. It was conceived, it originated in God's mind. He planned these things. He purposed these things to be. From the very beginning, God intended to build a church, to build his church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10, we find Paul, as he is writing to the saints there at Ephesus, and as we're talking about this morning in the class on Ephesians, that this is a letter about the church that God established through Jesus Christ. He says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was a plan in mind by God that he was going to establish the church. This was the eternal purpose of God, and he was going to bring it about by his Son, Jesus Christ. He planned the church. It was originated in a perfect, in a complete mind. He purposed it from the very foundation of the world. The church is not some kind of afterthought that the premillennialist would have us to believe, that after the rejection of Christ by the Jewish nation, that God decided at that time he was going to bring into existence the church. The church was something that was in the mind of God from the very beginning. Paul didn't introduce this institution that is known as the church, or one of the other inspired writers. It did not come from them. It came from the mind of a perfect being, that is God. It originated in that perfect and complete mind. And this church that was started in the mind of God reflects the wisdom that is found in the divine architect, that is in God as he brought it forth. We can see the wisdom and the knowledge of the architect whenever we look at a building or some kind of edifice. I am always amazed, as we lived in Chicago, to go to the Sears Tower and see that great building there. That reflected the individuals who built this building, who brought that into existence, who drew the plans for that. I'm always, again, when we were in Houston, we went to the Astrodome. And I was amazed at the way that these things were drawn up and they were brought into existence. And as you look at that building, it reflects upon the wisdom and the knowledge of the individual that drew these plans up. And we are made to be in amazement at some of the things that are there. Well, the same is true with the church that Jesus Christ brought into existence, that was conceived in the mind of God. It reflects upon the wisdom and the knowledge of the architect that is of God. And when we see the church functioning as it ought to function, as God intended for it to, we cannot be but impressed with the wisdom of God. And when we look to the Bible and we find there the simple thing of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through the church, through those individuals being sent out by the churches, and through individual Christians going from place to place, preaching the gospel of Christ, we find that within 50 years of the day of Pentecost, Paul could make the statement that the then known world had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And it didn't take any kind of worldwide organization. It didn't take a pooling of resources and funds to get this done. The churches sent out individuals. As they were persecuted, they went from place to place. This was the way God intended the church to function. And as it functioned, as He wanted it to, we can see the greatness and the magnitude of the wisdom of God in this. This perfect church that was in the mind of God came from Him. It originated in Him. And we don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to take anything away from the church that was established by Jesus Christ. We also see that concerning the church, that it came from a perfect plan. Or we might say a perfect blueprint. All buildings require plans. All buildings require some kind of blueprint before you're going to build it, before it's going to become a physical thing. For example, this building here, it had a blueprint before it was built. The Astrodome, the Sears Tower, anything has a blueprint. It has a plan. And this plan comes from the mind of God. As it is in the world in which we live, so it is with the church, that God purposed it. And as purposing it then, this requires guidelines. This requires a blueprint. And these are the things then that He established. You know, we can go back to the Old Testament. And we read in the Old Testament the construction of the tabernacle and the construction of the temple. And God gave to the Israelites a pattern to follow. And in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9 and also in verse 40, we find God saying to Moses there, He says in Exodus 25 and 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. He says, here is the pattern. Here is the plan that I want you to follow. And in verse 40 of that same chapter, He says there, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mount. God says, I have a plan. I have a blueprint. Here is the pattern. Now, Moses, I want you to follow that. We can read in Hebrews chapter 8. And in verse 5, the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews makes mention there, we serve the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds these individuals here of what was said in the law of Moses, that Moses had to follow the pattern or the blueprint that had been established by God. And in building the church, that was originated in the mind of God, the blueprint was found there. In reading the book of Hebrews, we find that that writer tells us that the tabernacle was a type of the church that was to come, and that the pattern or the blueprint of the church was something that was to be followed. God gave to Moses a pattern by which he was to build the tabernacle. He didn't leave anything up to Moses. He didn't say, "Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle and do it any way that you want to." He says to Moses, "Here's what I want." And he gave very minute details of the things that God wanted in that tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle. The church has a pattern that has been revealed by God, and it must be followed. He didn't simply say to man, "I want you to build me a church whatever way you want to." God has revealed his mind through the New Testament, through his Son, through the inspired writers, that the church is to be a certain way, and we are to follow that. It is not left up to us. If man uses his own plans to build a church, then whose church is it going to be? It's going to be man's church. But when we follow the blueprints that are given by God, then we are establishing God's church. And that's what he wants. This is a perfect church in the sense that it has a perfect plan for us to follow. The next thing we note is that there is a perfect builder of this church. And that builder is none other than God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Old Testament announced him as being the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. Christ said in Matthew 16 and 18, "I will build my church." It is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, that is the builder of this perfect church. And he was perfect. He was perfect in every way. He knew no sin. He did not transgress the law of God. He is perfect in this way. He had perfect knowledge. He had perfect wisdom. And he knew what was going to be best for man because it was he who created man. We have before us in the church that was built by Jesus Christ a perfect plan and also a perfect builder. That is Jesus Christ. We know that if an imperfect person builds a house, there's going to be flaws. There's going to be imperfections in that house because an imperfect person built that house. If a perfect person builds a house from an imperfect blueprint, then once again, there's going to be imperfections there. But if you have a perfect person following a perfect blueprint, then what you're going to have is a perfect house. And that's what the church is. It will do everything God wants it to do. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to take anything away from it. We don't have to have an organization over here asking for money from the churches so that it can evangelize, or that it can do benevolence, or that it can do one thing or then the other. The church can do what God tells it to do because it is perfect in its builder, in its plan, and in the fact that it comes from God. One of the other things that we know concerning the church is the preparations that were made to bring the church into existence. That this also came from the mind of God. That this also was something that was perfect. From eternity, the church was in the mind of God. From the very beginning, if we can use that term, the church was in the mind of God. But preparations had to be made in order to bring the church into existence. And that took the mind of God, the plan of God, down through the course of history in order for the church to be established. And God used Abraham, selected Abraham from all the people on the earth, that through his descendants, the Christ would come, and through Christ, the church would be established. In the building of the temple in the Old Testament, we find that David wanted to build the temple, but God told David, I will not allow you because you are a man of war. He said, your son Solomon is going to build my temple. But David made great preparations so that Solomon could bring the building into existence. That he gathered the wood and the stone. He gathered those things that would go in the temple so that his son could build that temple. God made preparations also so that his son, when he came into the world, could build the church. And the prophets of old foretold of that. In Isaiah 2, in Isaiah 9, in Daniel chapter 2, we find this being done. That God was preparing a people. He was preparing a time, looking forward to his son coming into the world and the establishment of that. God brought along through history the Israelite nation so that through them the church would come, the Christ would come. And finally, as we can read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, it says there that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This was announced by Jesus himself. The time had come. Preparations had been made pointing to that one time. And it was time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. There were preparations that were made. There was an unfolding for that time when the church or the kingdom would be established. And when all of those preparations were made, God sent forth his perfect son with a perfect blueprint to build a perfect church. To man, we might ask the question, for us, why is it God picked that time? Why was that the fullness of time in the mind of God? We might think to ourselves, certainly the 20th century would have been the time to send forth his son into the world. Everybody would have been able to know that here was an individual who could work miracles. People, we would have had newscasts there, broadcasters there, immediately if this had been done. But it says, God sent forth his son in the fullness of time. Preparations were made and God chose that time. And as far as God was concerned, it was a perfect time to send forth his son into the world. God chose this time. And the preparations were made and the preparations were and the church was unfolded. We also find concerning the provisions of this perfect church, that when these provisions were made, that the church came into existence, the kingdom came into existence. By provisions, we're talking about the miraculous powers that were needed by man in the establishment of the church and in the bringing of the church into the world. God did not leave the establishment of the church simply in the hands of unaided men. Certainly it was given to man, man being a part of it. But God aided man in the establishment of the church. Man was imperfect and is imperfect. And he needed the help of God. And God spared absolutely nothing to bring the church into existence. In Acts the second chapter, we read there the establishment of the church. And we are impressed with the provisions that God made. Acts 2, as we said, is the beginning of the church. And as we read the narrative there, it says that the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. And they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. God wanted to make sure that the words were right, that man heard what God wanted man to hear. And so by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God caused these people, these apostles, to speak the things God wanted. He didn't leave things to chance. He didn't simply say to man, here's what I want you to say, and you say it in words that you want to. God gave man the words to speak. And as Peter and the others preached, they revealed by inspiration the conditions that God had established for entrance into the church that he was building. Think of all the other miracles that accompanied Jesus and the apostles. The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ as he came forth from a grave. This miracle was a part of the bringing of the church of the kingdom into existence. Those that were done by his followers. This is God aiding man to establish his word that would govern the church. God provided man with a perfect means of establishing his church. He was not going to leave it up to the chance of man or the plans of men. He had a plan, and he brought his church into existence. And again, as we discussed, nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. Whatever work God has given the church to do, it is capable of doing that. There is also a perfect head over this church. And of course, that head is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the scriptures expressly say unto us that it is Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians again, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The head of the church, the one that directs the church, is Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. It is not some imperfect pontiff. It is not some group of men. It is not one man. It is not a group of men in Salt Lake City or in Brooklyn, New York, or in Cleveland, Tennessee, that is the head of the church that was built by God. The perfect church has a perfect head, and that is Jesus Christ. This was something that was established by God. And we don't need then to remove this perfect head, this Christ, and place someone else in that position. He is perfect. And as being perfect, we can't add to it and we can't take away from it. He is the perfect head. So far as we have seen in this church that God has brought into existence, it was planned in a perfect mind. There was a perfect blueprint and a builder and preparation and provisions and now a perfect head. But also we discover that there was a perfect law given to govern those that would be a part of this church. This law, which guides the church, which directs the kingdom, is something that is perfect. That is, again, we don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to take anything away from it. When we're talking about the law, we're talking about the Holy Scriptures. We're talking about the New Testament. That this is something that God has established to govern his kingdom and people in that kingdom. And it is a perfect law. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. Jesus promised to the disciples and the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and would guide them into all the truth. And they then in turn would take that truth and they would reveal it unto mankind. It is called the perfect law of liberty by James in James chapter 1 and verse 25. This law which governs the church has been delivered once for all, Jude says in verse 3. It is a perfect, it is a complete guide that will thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. It is a perfect law We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that is needed by man to be acceptable in the sight of God is found in the New Testament. We don't need to take another book and add to it. We don't need to go through here and find something we don't like and take it out. It is perfect. And what happens when you take something away from that which is perfect? You've made it imperfect. And this is what people do when they want to add to the law of God. If the law of God revealed by the apostles is perfect, then nothing else is needed. No creeds, no manuals, no disciplines, no catechisms. Nothing needs to be added. The church is perfect to offer acceptable sacrifice, acceptable worship unto God. And as long as it follows this perfect law, it will be so in organization. It will be so in discharging its responsibilities. And to add anything to it will make it imperfect. Finally, we notice that this perfect church, conceived in the mind of God, has a perfect mission. That is to edify, to evangelize, and to provide benevolence for those that are needy saints. The work God gives the church to do is something that I believe is very simple. Man has made it quite complicated. God made it simple. The preaching of the gospel to its own members. That is edification. That is taking the word of God and as spiritual food, feasting upon it. And growing spiritually only by this word. This is what we are talking about. Teaching the gospel to those that are lost. That is evangelism. That is taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. God has given that charge to the church, not to an organization separate and apart from the church, but to the church. And the church is able to do that. They were able to do it in the first century without any man-made organizations. And we can do it now, just as they did then. And the mission is to provide for their own needy saints. It is perfectly, the church is, able to carry out its mission. God has seen to it. God has created a church to carry out this mission that he has given. God did not, and I do not believe God would, create a church and then give it duties that it could not perform. That would not be fair. That would not be justice. Whatever God has given the church to do, he has equipped it to do that particular work. It would be like a man building a machine and then demanding of that machine that it do something that it was incapable of doing. God has established a church. He's built it through his Son. It was paid for by the blood of the Son of God. He has given it duties, and it can perform those duties. The church is all sufficient to do the work God has given it to do. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away. Man cannot improve on that which is perfect without destroying the perfection. As we said, if you've got something perfect and you begin to add to it, you're going to make it imperfect. You begin to take something away from it and it's no longer going to be perfect. God has established the church. Let us make a determination that we are going to have the church be what God wants it to be. No more and certainly no less. The same can be said of the plan of salvation that is given by God. That it is something that is perfect. The plan of salvation, as it is revealed in the Word of God, tells us that the individual must believe the things that have been revealed. Believe those things that are found in God's Word. That upon that belief they repent of their sins, confess their faith in Jesus Christ, and they are baptized for the remission of their sins. Nothing needs to be added to that. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. God has established this as being his law. We cannot improve on it. And if you're here this morning, and not a member of the body of Christ, that plan is so simple. That plan cannot be improved upon. Because if you begin to add to or take away, then it is no longer the plan of God. Let us simply follow what God says. This is all that He asks of us. This is all that He wants of each and every one who would be pleasing and acceptable in His sight, is to follow His will. We can do that. He has not given us an impossible task. All we have to do is determine that that is what I'm going to do. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?